Yeah, just real fast here from outside the nation's capital. On this Sunday morning, the birds chirping and nice sunny morning so far. Auspicious feeling to the day. Seems like it's going to be a good day. And, as a researcher, I woke up completely revitalized and energized again. Because, Elon Musk's Starship thing, I looked through some of the schematics, and unlike some of the other projects, it seems like he's the real thing. He's like the Steve Jobs of space. And for people who don't know this, Steve Jobs didn't even know how to code. Couldn't write a single line of computer code. His co-founder, Steve Wozniak, did most of the coding and nearly all the hardware stuff in the early days of Apple. But point is, Steve Jobs knew what the world wanted, and he built it. And the parts that he didn't know how to build or didn't know how to code, he just hired good people to do it for him. And for many years, Steve Jobs had Johnny Ive, I believe his name is, as Apple's head of design. And the guy was like a total genius. He came up with the original iPod design and the original iMacs back in the day, 20, 22, 23 years ago, those colorful iMacs. So Steve Jobs knew how to find talent. And he had vision, and he knew where the personal computer was headed before anybody. And I'm seeing the same kind of thing out of Elon Musk's Starship. Starship is like Elon Musk's iPod, or maybe even his iPhone, right? It's like finally there's a space product that governments and wealthy individuals, and eventually space corporations, are going to find to be valuable. And it's so customizable. It's really incredible. I mean, this guy has totally been underestimated by everybody. What other person is running four different ventures, right? Neuralink, Starlink, SpaceX, and Tesla. So he's basically running four different companies. Neuralink, of course, recently showed off its technology where a chimpanzee was able to telepathically play a game of Pong, the video game Pong. It was able to play it using just its mind and a little chip in its brain that could read its brain waves. And his other company, Tesla, of course, the electric car maker. And now a company that accepts Bitcoin for purchases of Tesla cars. And SpaceX, the creator of this Starship that I'm going to talk about in a second. And Starlink, which is already starting to be rolled out to its beta users, believe they already have more than 10,000 people using it. And just like what broadband internet was supposed to be, but never was. Right, people who have had satellite internet, who live out in the middle of nowhere, they know the problems with satellite internet, and it's basically one way. Right? You get relatively fast, although not even really by today's standards, somewhat fast downloads because it comes from a satellite that's beamed down to your dish, but horrible upload speeds because you're sending the request for what web page or what content you want to access through like a phone line or a DSL line. So it's massively slow, a lot of latency. Can't even really play video games. The latency is so bad that you can't play video games or trade in high frequency markets from a satellite internet connection. But of course, Elon Musk has changed all that because this Starlink supposedly has ridiculously low latency, really fast. And as of later this year, we'll supposedly be able to track users in motion, which means that when I say track, I mean track the signal. So basically, you'll be able to be on a yacht or you'll be able to be in your car speeding down the highway, and you can be in the middle of the desert, in the case of being in your car, and you'd have high-speed broadband internet, just like that, on your phone, in your car. And, of course, all his little Starlink satellites up in orbit, he typically launches 60 of them at a time, and they fold out like a little accordion, and then all go their each separate way after they charge using their solar panels. And these things are like everywhere, literally. If you look up above you in the sky, there's probably a Starlink satellite ripping through space at great speed, and you just can't see it. And so this improves censorship resistance of the internet, which for somebody like Elon Musk, who believes in peer-to-peer money, things like Bitcoin and Ether, you need censorship resistance, because if crypto really takes off to the point where the Rothschilds and whoever else, you know, the Chupacabra and the Loch Ness Monster and George Soros, you know, if these people get legitimately rattled that their fiat could become worth far less, because the world really is moving to peer-to-peer money, to P2P, just as the world moved to P2P music sharing and destroyed the recording industry, a move they still have not really recovered from, right? Instead, the influence went to streaming, streaming apps like Pandora and Spotify, and the record companies never got their power back. And the same thing is coming to the central banks, and they all know it. And so, again, to have an internet that can't be flicked off by some trillionaire dirtbag is a great thing and improves, I think, the value proposition of crypto. Not financial advice, but makes it more resilient if certain countries can't just flick off the switch to the internet when they feel like it. And so, anyway, I think the whole world is massively underestimating this guy. In addition to running these four high-tech ventures that are all kind of world-changing in their own way, he's hosting SNL on May 8th. So to have that level of social intelligence or EQ, and basically he's a people person, to be that socially smart and on top of it, to be able to run these four different companies is just incredible. And now to finally get into what Starship is, I thought it was like a gimmick because it looks ridiculous. It's the big steel, the fat phallic rocket ship. It looks like something from the 1940s or 1950s from like a comic book. And he apparently uses stainless steel, both because it reflects heat and reflects light and because it's so much cheaper to build with. So they use a high-end, space-friendly variant of steel, tempered stainless steel. And it costs them $2 per kilo to make rockets using this stainless steel. $2 a kilogram versus close to $200, according to some video I was watching, close to $200 a kilogram if you're using carbon fiber, which is what Boeing and Lockheed and a lot of the other traditional companies use. And it turns out this stainless steel that Musk uses for his Starship is actually better than carbon fiber because it can tolerate cold temperatures very well. And the liquid oxygen that Starship uses as its propellant, that liquid oxygen has to be kept cold. And so he's managed to find the material to build rockets from that is, you know, about 1% the cost of what everybody else is using. So that right there is an incredible innovation. And it does look like almost a gimmick, but there's a lot of engineering behind it. And when it comes back down into the atmosphere, it basically does a belly flop. And uses its, does a bunch of midair adjustments. And then eventually rights itself and lands upright. So it can be, resupplied and then take off again. And so it is truly a starship. Incredible. You know, the other space projects that have been privately funded felt more like gimmicks to me when I briefly looked through them years ago. Like Jeff Bezos's Blue Origin and Eric Schmidt, Spaceship One, I think it was called. Spaceship One is actually, at least when I went there years ago, it was on display at the National Air and Space Museum. But so those were just like gimmicks, in my opinion, because they just go up and they do some suborbital stuff, and then they come down. And the same with Richard Branson, to a large extent, right? His Virgin Galactic. Well, it's not galactic at all. He wants to take rich people up for a little suborbital flight, basically a little glide that technically touches, you know, the edges of space. And you have a little champagne toast or a glass of wine, and you come back to Earth. Although that's awesome, and I'm glad that somebody's funding that, that's just not the bold, distant future that's possible. That's not the new world that's imminent. Turns out Elon Musk is building it. This guy is like the real-life Zefram Cochrane. For people who don't know who Zefram Cochrane is, you have to enter some fairly nerdy waters because it's Star Trek fiction. But Zefram Cochrane was the kind of rogue scientist who, after World War III, hanging out in Montana and drinking, in his spare time, he develops a warp drive. And he's the first person to, command a ship that has warp drive. And in the Star Trek world, this happens in 2063. So, you know, some 40-something years from now. And shortly after he flicks on his warp drive, when he comes back to Earth and lands back in Montana, he is greeted by the Vulcans, because they apparently monitor other civilizations and wait for those civilizations to develop faster than light or warp drive capability. And at that moment, all of human history on Earth is then changed forever, right? Because the Vulcans shake his hand, and we start sharing technology with them. And before you know it, you get Starfleet and the Federation of Planets and all that. But it all started with Zefram Cochrane, this lone inventor, this genius who developed the warp drive using basically pre-existing scientific knowledge in the, you know, weeks after World War III ended, because he had nothing better to do. And that's like what Elon Musk is. The world is possibly nearing conflict with China. U.S. Strategic Command tweeted something very unusual just days ago. And they warned the public that the conflict ahead, if there is a conflict, it could become nuclear in nature. So that sounds pretty intense. And all this political hardship and the pandemic and all that, it doesn't prevent technological innovation from still carrying on at the same time, simultaneously. And, you know, now's a really good time for you guys to read the book who haven't yet. My new book that's out is not just about crypto. It's not just about Bitcoin and Ether. It's also about Elon Musk. And I think the way in which he plans to bootstrap all of his space ambitions by basically kicking in the central banks and giving people peer-to-peer money. And if he's one of the early investors in that, in Bitcoin and Ether and so on, and if his companies are taking that as payment to go into space, just as that becomes the new source of wealth, then he'll be able to bootstrap this new space economy. See, Elon Musk could be like the Henry Ford of space travel. He could commoditize it, make it affordable for the common man. And this starship, like I said, it's the first thing that's not just a rich man's gimmick. Because Jeff Bezos is not some genius engineer. He's a genius marketer and a genius capitalist. He created this online superstore and understood things like just-in-time inventory management and all these things that were coming out at just the right time. It's like Jeff Bezos saw all these things that were cost efficient and that would change retail and actually destroy retail. And yet his space stuff is just like a hobby, you know, a hobby or something to do, because he's not a true engineer. Whereas Elon Musk has that engineer's mind. And if he can't design it, just like Steve Jobs, he'll hire somebody who can. And so this is an exciting time for humanity. And the book goes into this because at the same time that companies like SpaceX are getting more and more high tech and are able to launch people into space for less and less money. And the fact they got the NASA contract, that NASA contract to take us back to the moon, manned space flight back to the moon, shows you that he's not just putting out gimmicks. But again, this Starship thing is like a reusable, like, don't think of it as a rocket, just because it looks like a rocket. Think of it more like the space shuttle. This thing is like a modern space shuttle that belly flops as it re-enters the atmosphere and then comes down, like I said, comes down upright. And it has so much space inside of it, you could apparently take 100 people, up to 100 people to the moon, and it could be fitted with, longer-term supplies to go to Mars. Incredible. This fucking thing opens us up to the solar system. Absolutely incredible. And again, he's figured out that you don't have to use the materials everybody else is using to make rockets. You can use high-grade stainless steel, which is plentiful, and apparently does quite well in space. And so there's also shielding that's going to be put aboard it, apparently, a shielding area, so that if they encounter a solar storm or something, they can survive off radiation. And it's like, this is like science fiction level stuff. You know, you start watching some of these videos that go through the features of Starship, it's almost like he's built a Tesla for humans to explore the solar system. And to be sure, it's not there yet, if I had to guess. Before rich people are fueling up a Starship and going to Mars, before rich people are just doing that of their own accord, and before middle-class colonists are doing stuff like that, probably 5 or 10 years away, if I had to guess. But this guy's an absolute genius. And his conference the other day, his press conference, he said that we don't want humans to be a one-planet species. We're going to be a multi-planetary species. And he said it with such confidence and such certainty that he could pull it off. This guy's the Steve Jobs of outer space. Different world ahead, folks. And I think he doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to crypto. He was one of the co-founders of PayPal. That's what gave him the money to launch SpaceX in the first place. So this guy realizes that the central banks are falling apart and that the entrenched corruption, hundreds of years of corruption, it's all coming out to the forefront. And I'm not even talking about the cucumbers. I'm not even talking about the QAnon people. I'm just talking about centuries of corruption and war. And it's because a handful of people own all the money. It's a made-up debt token made by a handful of families. And Elon Musk and some of his wealthy peers blew them out of the fucking water. Because Bitcoin gives you guys everything. There is no bridge troll in the middle. If Bitcoin does well, it only benefits the users of Bitcoin. There is no privilege. There's no privileged class that's sitting on the bulk of all the Bitcoin out there. Because the whole thing's only 12 years old. It's not centuries old. Like the made-up system that these handful of families have laid down over time. And so Elon Musk is like from a different century almost in terms of his understanding of economics and in terms of just this perpetual march of improvement that he's doing to some of these products at SpaceX that, again, seem like they're gimmicks, like Starship. Not a gimmick at all. This isn't a rich guy amusing himself by launching stuff into suborbital space. This is a guy who's building the Model T for humans to explore the solar system. Incredible.
As long as you're not expecting too much, life is good in 2021. If you're hearing these words, you've survived the pandemic. The world cheered as Coinbase, one of the earliest cryptocurrency wallet companies, listed on the NASDAQ, becoming a public company in the United States. Its millennial founder is already worth $12 to $16 billion, according to media estimates. And with the public focus on Coinbase, as well as broader concerns including possible conflict with China, the leading cryptos soared to new all-time highs in April. If you're crypto curious, or if you already have some crypto and want a fascinating new research view, check out our brand new book, link in the description, and also available in the Amazon Kindle store. Search for Winner Take All, Bitcoin Ether, and the Rise of New Money.